This is a man that needs no introduction.
Who is this guy?
The most knowledgeable columnist in the city of Pittsburgh.
Some in our audience don't know the finer points of hockey.
He goes by only one name.
Hotter than Bond, cooler than Bullet. Shaft.
No, it's not Shaft. It's Rossi. And he's here right now on Trip Live Radio.
Rossi time here on Trip Live Radio. He's not the most hated media member in the city of Pittsburgh here this morning because
right.
Tim Menz has stolen his thunder.
I did think when Tim returned that my days as the unquestioned most hated media member in town were going to be at least limited because of Tim's return. We've always been kindred spirits when it comes to ticking off the public.
Yeah, you're both Jagoffs. There's no question there.
And we also choose to go after, I think, more readily the most prepared to be offended fan bases in the region, which are Pitt fans and Penguins fans.
My question, Tim, is why have we not met away from our respective jobs and decided to market ourselves this way and try to make more money?
It's a good idea, really. You know, we could turn this into something.
Yes.
I think we need Haley to do that.
Yes.
Though. How about can we turn the camera here, Josh?
Yes.
Look what Rob has done for us today, Ken. Can you see the feed here?
I got it, yeah.
All right, so Rob has a job shadow, and her name is Haley. Now, whenever I get a job shadow, it's usually, you know,
Ralph.
Some pimple-faced 18-year-old kid from Point Park. Hi, Mr. Benz. I'd really like to get in broadcast journalism. Can I follow you around for a day?
In fact, Josh Taylor was your last one, wasn't he?
No, I was Guy's last one.
Oh,
and look what Rob brings in here. You know, Haley used to work on, was it RMU Stats? Is that where you used to work? The school paper, that's what it was. The school paper.
Tim, this is the difference between joining the franchise and being the
franchise. Oh, my God. Oh,
wow.
Spare me.
Wow.
Oh, the franchise. So what is Mr. Rossi? Do you call him Mr. Rossi?
Yes.
She hasn't addressed She's not allowed to speak to me yet.
Apparently, you have to address him as the franchise. Well, I'm glad you're learning a lot from Rob today. Now, you've learned that if you want to piss off
anger
two
sells.
Fan bases, it's the Penguins.
When
and
she gets back to school this afternoon, she's changing her major.
Yes.
Yikes. We a lot to get through from the weekend, Rossi. Two major injury concerns, though. One is the Steelers quarterback, and the other is Pascal Dupuis. Just wanted to pass along that he is skating today and is at the other end of the ice. But, of these two, you're associated with the Pens from recently covering them. Any surprise about the Dupuis situation?
No. I mean, I think this was what we all feared. I wrote about it a couple weeks ago. I'm torn because it really isn't our place to tell a guy when to stop. And really, the only people that should be involved in that decision are him, his doctors, and his family. But
what is it? Have you ever asked him what his wife's opinion is on it? Is she
I did. I mean,
she's got to be getting to the point.
He said
where
she's, you know, as long as the doctors say there's no risk, you know, she's fine with it. But here's the thing. You know, if you want to look at it from a sports perspective, it's really putting the Penguins in a tough spot because he makes $3.7 million against the cap. And if he's going to be somebody you can't even put on LTI, which is the long-term list to get cap relief, and these situations pop up, then they're close enough to the cap. I think, I'm not exactly sure on this. Next time you guys have Mackie or Bumbuli on, ask them. I think they're within $300,000 of the salary cap right now. So they don't have any room. So if something like this continues to persist, it's a real problem for them from a roster standpoint. But my point is, I don't know Pascal, but I've gotten to know him better than many of the other Penguins I covered. And I just, when I asked him where the line was, Ken, it was because there's part of me that just wonders, why keep doing this? You know, you're going to make your money. The contract's guaranteed. You've now had a scare. I guess I would look at this scare as, boy, I got lucky that it wasn't the blood clot. I'm out in Edmonton. Could have been a blood clot. How was I even going to get home if that's the case? You know, depending on where the blood clot is. So do you want to keep testing your luck? I probably wouldn't. So I do think it's courageous to keep wanting to push it, but I wonder if it's the smartest thing to do too.
Look, he's one of my favorite Penguins that I've covered. I really like the guy. I know what you're saying. If this is, the doctors have suggested that these blood clots could occur and affect him negatively, whether he plays or not. I could see him saying, well, then I'm going to play.
Yeah.
But if he has to keep treating them in a manner that then exacerbates the likelihood of significant injury or death, then he shouldn't play.
Yeah.
That's when I would step up and say, you shouldn't play. But I get the other part of that balancing act. If the doctors are in essence saying you can get them whenever, then go ahead and keep playing. If it were me and my life were on the line and I had a wife and all those kids, at some point I'd likely quit, but that's only if the treatment of these blood clots were to be so adversely affecting if something were to happen to me on the ice.
Tim, I don't think you were here the last time we talked about this, but there have been, you look at even the heritage of Western Pennsylvania and guys that have had to do what they've had to do, working in mines knowing they could get black lung disease, working in steel mills knowing they could fall in a vat of molten steel and die, and that's what they had to do. So, I mean, if we're trying to get inside his head of why would you keep doing it, I think if you have the opportunity to make millions of dollars, or even guys that have used steroids, performance-enhancing drugs, you think, why would you do this if it has a chance of causing a premature death? Well, if it makes you a millionaire, maybe for some people,
his contract's guaranteed. So I don't know if he has to do this.
Okay.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, the NHL contract's guaranteed. So if there were a medical situation...
Tells you how much he loves the game.
Yeah. And you got to remember, this is a guy whose dad, you know, he's talked about this, but dad basically told him, you know, it's sort of like the Batman line, why do we fall down so we can get back up? You know, it's, you know, that was his philosophy. His dad's philosophy was, you know, you get knocked down and you get up. You don't let the injury.
Okay, Chumbawamba.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That's what you learned from Rob Rossi. When in doubt, quote Batman.
Yes. Or Chumbawamba. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's a really tough thing. And you know, the weird thing, guys, is I would argue the only time Sidney Crosby's looked real good this year consistently has been Pascal Dupuis's been on his line. So, I mean, there are a lot of ways the Penguins could look at this. You hope he's healthy. It's good to hear that he got a good report. They miss him more than anybody realizes. He is one of the – he might be the only guy in that room who can necessarily rattle the people that need rattled.
You know, I wrote before the game against Edmonton that Eric Fehr should not be bumped up to a top line because that was starting already. There were already a couple tweets, a couple emails, texts, things like that that came in from folks saying that Eric Fehr should be elevated to a top line. And
was one of the tweet emails Mike Johnston?
Well, apparently.
Yes.
Because they put him right up there. That's where I would have put Sprong. I mean, yeah. What better opportunity to see what you have than to have him replace Dupuis while Dupuis is hurt? And why do you take your scoring depth and eliminate it as depth and put it on the
top
line?
So here's my latest new theory on the Penguins. They don't believe anything they're trying to sell us about this being a good defensive hockey team. They're actually looking on film and seeing that this system is working in this way. They want to rush up the ice, out of the defensive zone, through the neutral zone with speed and numbers. They're unable to do that because they cannot get the puck defensively and move it quickly. So essentially now what you have is the bottom six looking better than the top six where all the talent is because the top six is spending all of its time trying to make up for the deficiencies of the back end. And therefore you've sort of got it flipped. Mike Johnston wants to play a system with numbers, speed, scoring chances. And what he's getting is a system that's very defensive, debilitating at times to his top players because they're working so hard defensively because the way the system is playing itself out and the way he asks his centers to go 200 feet, instead of going 200 feet to retrieve the puck and get back up the ice, they're going 200 feet and defending for 30 seconds. So I think maybe, if we're trying to get in people's heads, maybe Mike Johnston thinks Daniel Sprong can't do that. Eric Fehr can. Why Mike Johnston has not looked at the overwhelming evidence right now that what he wants to do isn't working in terms of, I did the math the other day, guys. Since Mike Johnston's been the head coach, in 44% of the games that he's played, Sidney Crosby does not have a point. In 38.6% of the games that he's played, Evgeny Malkin does not have a point. So even if you look at and say the Penguins are winning, their goal differential combined the last under the Mike Johnston era, is plus 13. That is not a winning goal differential, okay? That's not a sustainable goal differential, and they're not getting the scoring from their two stars. Why Mike Johnston hasn't adjusted his system to ask the centers to do a little less and maybe put in a left wing lock type thing where you could get the centers a little more freedom, I don't know. Maybe because he thinks this can sustain. But I don't think anybody that knows this sport on even a cursory level could say this is going to sustain. Because you see what happens when the goaltenders are just very good, right? Because the goaltending was pretty good against Calgary.
Calgary's goaltending, they had three highlight reel
goals.
That's
what I'm saying. Yeah. But even when the goaltending's just pretty good, the Penguins still aren't scoring enough goals to be in games. And that's...
Do you think, I don't want to get you in trouble being that, but do you think it's almost bad that they're having this, this success because it's delaying the inevitable?
It's bad because it's not forcing them to address a problem that will need addressed if they want to turn this success into a championship run. Because here's the thing. The Anaheim Ducks last year had a plus 10 goal differential. They got the game 7 of the conference final, right? How did they do that? Well, Getzlaff and Perry went off. Getzlaff had 20 points throughout the playoffs. Perry had 18, okay? So, obviously, we look at that and say, their highest paid players, their best players, elevated, right? Well, we haven't seen that from the Penguins' best players in years. Do you think, based off what you've seen of Crosby and Malkin under Johnston in this system, that they're going to elevate in the postseason? Because if you do, then this all makes sense. But if you think there's a possibility that that won't happen...
It's hard to think it when it hasn't happened.
When it hasn't happened. And especially when you look at this now, again, that's 90-plus games for Sidney Crosby. That's 80-plus games for Evgeny Malkin. That's the course of a full season. So what's that tell you, right? Tim, it tells you those guys aren't scoring.
Right, but when you say elevate, part of that to me is maybe now they do win 2-1 as opposed to losing 5-2 or 4-1, and those two goals, the one goal that they score, means more.
It's going to be hard to win 2-1 games with this defense core. And it's going to be hard to improve this defense core if Pascal Dupuis' health is uncertain.
Yeah, but since Eric Fair is going to win the Art Ross,
yes,
you can trade Perron and Kunitz and get a defenseman, which is what I was getting.
Well, I mean, now that Fair is an Art Ross contender, I think the discussion we need to have is, when do you pull the plug on the Sidney Crosby experiment? Because Fair can play center. And if he's a top liner,
top line,
I mean, to me, it's obvious that you get cap relief, you get players in return.
But no one can flip a fallen stick quite like Sidney Crosby. And that's what matters.
The best shot I've seen from him this season.
Glad we've got some great insight on the Penguins here this morning. Ross, you solved all their problems.
I usually do, if they would just listen to me. Who said Malkin with Kessel? Who said that?
Well, right? You're not the only one, but you said
it. No, but I said it first. The day they got Kessel. Before they got Kessel. Okay.
You'll figure this out. Yes.
I'm just saying. Ken, I've been right about everything so far.
Trib columnist Rob Rossi. He's never wrong. He's with us on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays here at 11 a.m. on Trib Live Radio. How about a Steelers identity, Rossi? What are you seeing over this weekend with this one? Any long-term takeaways?
Yes. I will never commit to an idea before the two-minute warning of the fourth quarter with the Steelers the rest of this season.
That's for a column.
Yeah, how about your whining about the deadline? It was an afternoon game. What kind of deadline were you imposed with yesterday that you had to incessantly whine on Twitter throughout this game?
I mean, I just think the people need to know the anguish that I have. I mean, you know, they think this is all fun. I've got to come up with something creative and interesting.
What time? Midnight?
By close to midnight, but these words don't just appear in the print form.
I was talking to a photographer the other day, guy, and he was saying to me,
I had to turn two stories around from 6 to 6:40 for TV.
That's anguish. That's angst.
I'm whining for guys. This guy can't whine. I'm whining for a guy.
There's a photographer that I spoke with, a still photographer, a paper photographer, and he said, you have to verify this for me. Back in the day, like in the Three River Stadium days, that the stack girls would actually give you beer while you were working.
Oh, there was a bar in the press box.
Well, I remember that for Pirate games, but they would actually like bring you bottles of Rolling Rock. Is that right?
I don't remember that.
There'd be less whining if there were a bar in the press box, I will tell you.
Diz Bellows is the all-time famous bartender in the Pirate press box. The great thing was, and most guys didn't drink much while they were working, but after the game, after you were done, everybody went back and had a few.
I spent a year covering the Pirates every day of my life. I was pretty much a drunk for going after the press box.
There was a great guy named Walt who worked the Penguin press box back in the 80s, and I was just starting out. I was making $100 a week working for a radio station in Beaver County. So my Saturday night would be to go to the Penguin game, even though I wasn't working, sit in the press box and drink about 6 of the beers in the press box, and then go out afterwards and buy one. So, yeah, those days have changed. Well, the other thing that's changed is the athletes themselves.
You would
go into the locker room after a Pirate game. There were tubs of beer. They don't provide that anymore. Too much liability if one of those guys gets in a wreck on the way home.
So that's Cardinals. And Cardinals ruined our fun there, too. Thanks a lot, Cardinals.
I talked to Billy Guerin about that 3 years ago, and he said he thinks one of the reasons you see teams in the NHL less together is because they don't go out and have those nights where they just tied one on anymore because none of them drink.
Right.
You know, they're all like, you know, Sidney's afraid to eat a piece of cake.
No, Brooks Orpik with his gluten-free diet.
Yeah,
there's some fine like, gluten-free beers out there.
You shouldn't eat bread after 3 p.m. I'm Italian. I eat bread after like 3 a.m. I mean, that's just what we do.
So,
you
know? That's a good theory by Guerin. Actually, I buy that. There are fewer nights where, you know, you got to jump on your grenade for a friend, and then that comes back by manifesting itself with a good body check in the offensive zone the next day. You know, like...
You
had to take the wing girl home so he could score. Cover your earmuffs. Yeah, earmuffs here.
I think the idea that there used to be 5 or 6 nights a year during a long season where everybody would show up at the morning skate hungover and you were all
those were the teams.
No, when you were all in it together, I think there was a bonding off the ice that became part of the room that you don't see anymore because these guys are so conditioned to when they get done, go home and, you know, recuperate.
So back in the day when they all had mullets and they're holding each other's hair as they're throwing up in the toilets after a bag skate, that's what brought the
Penguins. Did those guys seem like they were having more fun than the modern day athletes?
That's when they all smoked in the locker room, too.
Yeah, like you said, you know, back in the old days where Jack Lambert was in the cold tub icing down with a Marlboro in his hand.
And a beer.
Well, in all honesty, Rossi, like people rave about Brady's health and his routine and his personal trainer. Who knows what's going on there? But Ben is the anti-Brady from an injury point of view in addition to a lifestyle point of view.
So he gets hurt
again yesterday. What do you think of the latest?
Wait a minute. What do you mean?
Because that's why I love Casey Hampton, a guy that would take a hot dog from a fan in the stands in Baltimore and not be afraid to eat it. Now,
yeah,
that's my sports
tackle.
Hero.
So wait, are you implying Ben could be in better shape?
I'm implying Ben could be in better shape, yes. He's not
in Tom
Brady's
shape.
Do you
see how often the NFL lets Ben get hit compared to Tom Brady?
Well,
that's like Mario and Gretzky.
I would very much, if I were Ben, keep some baby fat on me, or adult fat, however you want to call it.
Yeah, okay. He could be in better shape, Ken, but him being in better – if he's in better shape, doesn't Mark Barron not collapse his knee? If he's in better shape, does Alden Smith not fall on his foot that way? And you could say, well, he could have avoided either hit, but like I said, there's 94 dropbacks. 94 dropbacks. That happened to be the one sack.
He's not seeing age 38 at quarterback. I'll be stunned. Where Tom Brady is today.
Well, he better, because what are they going to do?
Got to go to the Jeremy Fowler plan then and get the next Derek Carr in the second round.
I don't know.
Rob, we picked yesterday's game apart a lot already. I'm just interested in where you think they are headed. Are they still a playoff team in your mind?
If they beat Cleveland, yes.
Yeah,
Because I think if you get the 6-4 going into that bye, then there's a chance. Even here's what happens. If you beat Cleveland, I wouldn't even take Ben to Seattle. Okay, you punt on that game. Get the 6-5. Bring him back. Give him 3 healthy weeks because you got the bye, and let him basically go in saying, even if we need to win out, we have a better shot getting to the playoffs, needing to win out with Ben coming back like that than we do, you know, of trying to sort of piece.
If they lose
thing
to Cleveland, they got Seattle, Cincinnati, Denver.
That's what I'm saying.
And Indy, not in that order, but 4 pretty tough games that,
yeah,
at best you're probably going to
split. And you're not going to win those games without Ben Roethlisberger by rushing him back. So, and if there's a game to lose, it's the Seattle one.
Yeah, they have enough NFC wins already.
Yeah.
They've qualified for the NFC playoffs already.
Well, and here's the other thing, right? I mean,
they'll be hosting Green Bay.
Cleveland loss would be another home AFC loss, and then you've basically punted on your home AFC or North games, excuse me, AFC Central. Jeez.
There's a memo out, though, that Seattle's not very good. They've had 4 losses. They're 4-4. They barely beat the Cowboys last game they played, 13-12. Yeah, that is not an unwinnable game.
No, it isn't, but I mean,
to me,
I don't think that's the game you invest wholly in. I mean, you have a better shot of beating a Denver with Ben than you do of beating Denver with an injured Ben.
You're Landry Jones, right? And now you're going to have 3 starts this season. At least 2 of them are going to be in the loudest stadiums in the NFL, Seattle and Kansas City.
Well, the Steelers have to do a better job in the Seattle game than they did in the Kansas City game of giving Landry Jones some consistent play calling. I mean, they were all over the place. You know, they fell in love with the run early, then they went pass happy. Like, they have to figure out a game plan and stick to it.
But if Ben's healthy, I'm not punting on that game. It's a win. It's a W in the column against a team that's much easier to handle than Denver, home or road. I don't care what you say about playing up there.
Seattle's only played three home games. They've only played three. So I disagree with you, Ken, that that's so winnable. I think they're a much better team than their 4-4 record says, and most of the rest of the year they are home.
And I think the Steelers think are pretty good at home. I mean, I think they play much better at home. They've been in position to be undefeated at home in these games. I think Denver coming here, Peyton Manning at the end of the year, I mean, or later in the year when he hasn't played as well, I think that's – I'd give the Steelers a fighting shot with a healthy Roethlisberger. I don't give them any shot if Roethlisberger comes back and gets hobbled again and he's limping around the rest of the season.
As I said yesterday in the postgame show, 9-7 gets you in if you have the right nine.
Yeah, and the right nine would not be
Seattle.
Right.
Rob Rossi, he'll be here Wednesday. He'll be impressing the youth of our fine city for
Duquesne?
The rest of the week.
Duquesne
next, Point Park.
Pitt, how about Pitt?
Wherever he can
Let's
give
pat back. That one down before they come in here, all right? So when you're on the student paper covering the Robert Morris hockey team, did you ever ask Derek Schooley a question and he said back to you, well, why don't you get out there to power play, get on the power play yourself or go out there and kill the penalty yourself like Narduzzi did?
No, not in an interview, but, I mean, there have been times where he's confronted and like, well, why did you say that about
really?
Our power play in the article? He's like, we did this we'll
have to talk to Derek about that. Ken?
Uh-huh.
Remember
good,
that.
Good
we'll get
seasoning.
Him on Friday.
Remember that on Friday. Develop we're going to go after skin, Derek Haley. Schooley for going the, after
the,
our friend Haley.
The response to that, Haley, so you know, with anybody but the head coach of the Steelers is, keep in mind I'm going to be here a lot longer than you are.
Right.
As I told Mike Therrien, you can yell and scream all you want, but at the end of the day, I'll be covering this team long after you're fired.
The college hockey coaches, though, that tends to not be true. You can see college hockey coaches that don't have good programs.
Yes, and you don't want to be in college longer than the college hockey coach in his program. So I'm talking when you get out into the world.
They lost to AIC Friday, huh?
They did.
Wow, Penn State's terrible. 8 goals on them.
His interview after that, I heard it on 970. His interview after that game was priceless. This loss will haunt us for the rest of the season. Mark it down. Yes, they were. And just pissed away any moment.
Apparently, Derek is comfortable living in his fears.
Rossi, thanks. My
thanks,
friend.
Rob. Thanks, Haley.
Up next,
well,
Trip Live Radio Morning
leave.
Show.
Rob's got to go. But Haley can stay. She can watch real radio for the next hour and a half.
We're brought to you on Mondays by Relax the Back Solutions for Pain. Feel better, work better, live better online at relaxtheback.com, and they are now selling the mattress of the future.
Right,
the
we're in the second hour. Does this count as a commercial this hour?
You just interrupt every commercial read ever for the rest of the year? Is that your sabotage plan for Trip Live Radio?
The clients like that because it elongates us talking about their product. See? I'm helping out the sales staff.
Relaxtheback.com. Frank Walker Law next selects the defensive player of the game. It may be somebody Tim Benz disagrees with. He's got no say in this.
Call
matter.
Frank right now. See if it gets over to like the prosecuting side because I really do want to have an offensive player of the game.
See if we can get Frank on the line next for you. Either way, we'll hear from the defensive star of the game or your emails on the Steelers. Three takes every Monday after a Steelers win or loss. We're brought to you by Duffy's Beer.
Relax the Back, solutions for back pain. Feel better, work better, live better. Don't let back pain keep you from the golf course. Let our specially trained associates guide you to the perfect solution for your discomfort. Relax the Back, now selling the mattresses of the future, the most comfortable bed you will ever sleep on. State-of-the-art mattresses and pillows for better sleep and a healthy lifestyle. We offer a complete line of comfort solution products that will improve posture, circulation, and overall health, including a wide array of ergonomic office solutions, back support, height-adjustable desks, fitness and therapy products, and the best selections of zero-gravity recliners available anywhere. Relax the Back Solutions for back pain, the country's leading specialty retailer of neck and back pain relief and back comfort products, as well as world-class massage chairs, located at 6343 Penn Avenue. Call 412-362-2225. That's 412-362-2225. Online at relaxtheback.com. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills. 412-653-BEER. See all of our weekly specials at duffysbeer.com. Bud, Bud Light, and Coors Light 30-pack cans, only $18.99. Plus Miller Lite and Yuengling 24-pack cans for only $14.99. Winter and Christmas beers are arriving daily. Give the gift of good cheer this Christmas with a gift card to Duffy's, your South Hills headquarters for beer, pop, snacks, vapes, home brewing supplies, and all your party and tailgating needs for this week's game. Duffy's Beer and much more in Pleasant Hills, online at duffysbeer.com.